Hello everybody, this is Chet and Barb from Salem, Wisconsin, welcoming you to the Living in Las Vegas podcast.
Nice. Hey, on today's Living in Las Vegas. Okay, so here's a question. Why is it that I'm standing in front of a wall covered in Vegas Video Network show logos? Well, here's the answer. Today represents Vegas Video Network episode number 1,000. That's right. Since October of 2010, we have produced 1,000 live multi-camera shows to a worldwide audience, 150 countries, all 50 states. So what are we going to do today? We are going to celebrate. I'm going to give you the inside scoop, kind of a behind-the-scenes look at the start of the network. How did this thing get started? Plus, I'm also going to give you some of the scoop about many of the shows you see behind me. Now, this will be an extended show, but I will absolutely not forget to do Have a Drink on Me. This is the Living in Las Vegas podcast. Let's get started.
Boom. Living in Las Vegas starts now. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome from Las Vegas, Nevada, that groovy little podcast that gives you a true first-person look into what it's like to call Sin City your home, the Living in Las Vegas podcast. Yeah. And now your host, a man who clearly needs some kind of introduction, otherwise you wouldn't know who he was, Mr. Scott Whitney. Welcome, everybody, to the Living in Las Vegas podcast here on the Vegas Video Network. It's a very special congratulations given what we just talked about. Hey, by the way, congratulations to you for watching or listening, because you're watching the longest running podcast about Las Vegas that actually originates from Las Vegas. And oh, by the way, your host right here, I've lived here for as long as I can remember, which means what? Well, I'm not only going to cover what it's like to live here, but we're going to tell you a little bit about our adventures on the Strip, Fremont Street, downtown, other cool places here in the Valley. And by the way, if you're a visitor, if you're a tourist, if you're a fan of our fair city, well, our show is like your own secret handshake to all things cool and groovy happening in this town. Now, we're live every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. at VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. Again, VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. Join us. Be a part of the show. Get yourself in the live chat. Some of the coolest people you are ever going to meet. I've got Ted. I've got Andy. I got Barb and Chet. I got some Mikes. I got some Danny, who's about ready to lose some serious money because she thinks she actually knows what vodka tastes like. I've got Glenn. I've got Matt Chipmunks. I've got Mr. Danny. I've got Pops. I've got Rob. I got all kinds of good-looking, happy people there. And you can be there as well. You can be a part of the show. We dedicate this show to much of what's happening in the live chat. So get yourself in there and have some fun. Your whites will be whiter. Your brights will be whiter. Hey, I'm your host, Scott Whitney. Konnichiwa. Buenas noches. How you doing, hot stuff? Great to have you here. Been an online broadcaster for 10 years. I'm responsible for the Vegas Video Network. So if you like it, it's all about me. If you don't like it, blame Danny. She's up for it right now. She's going to lose some big bets, and she's going to take the blame for basically everything. Okay, over under. I'm not sure about this one. This one might go long or not. I'm going to give you an over under of 90. Want to say thank you to Chet and Barb for doing the opening video. By the way, the first time somebody has said, I will embrace the Living in Las Vegas theme song, and I will jazz it up a little bit with a little bit of trombone, one of my favorite instruments, by the way, and the clarinet. So thank you very much for Barb and for Chet for playing along with us here. Thank you. All right, so first and foremost, before we do anything else, I'm going to ask everybody in the live chat, everybody who's listening or watching this show at home, to stop. If you need to at home, put me on pause. Go to the refrigerator. Go to your kitchen. Go to your bar. Grab yourself a drink and join me in a toast. Because I don't know how it happened, but for the love of God, we've created 1,000 live broadcasts here from the Vegas Video Network. So I'm going to toast that. That's mighty fine. By the way, this is I'm all about English alcohol. This is an English champagne brought to us by our good friend Stuart and David. So I wanted to spend a little time talking about how this crazy thing happened. I mean, quite frankly, if you think about it, a young man decides, I think I'm going to create a network out of the blue. And that's kind of what happened. So let's talk a little bit about this. You know what? Let's have another toast. Everybody in the live chat? Yeah, there we go. Cold duck. We've got cold duck in the live chat. All right, one more. So we're toasting 1,000 live shows. And other things have happened as a result of that. How many live views have we had? How about this? 427,000 people have watched the live content that we've done. How about YouTube? YouTube's interesting. So YouTube, if you look at the people who get these millions and millions of views, they're typically folks who are doing very, very short videos, the 1 to 2 to 5 minute videos. Lots of those guys. We, on the other hand, are basically saying that's not how that works. We believe in the long form story. So instead of doing 2 minute videos, our shortest shows now on the Vegas Video Network are 30 minutes, and yet we've had 1,010,621 views on YouTube. This indicates that if you've got good content, people will actually watch that content. How many people visit our website? How about this? Every month, 73,200 average monthly website visits. And of course, along with our live shows, we're doing podcasts. We're now done 2,000 audio and video podcasts. So we're having some fun here. We're doing good stuff. How did this all get started? So as I've mentioned I was just reading the live chat, As I've mentioned before, this all came about. The network is owned by a company called Podworks. Podworks is an internet broadcasting company that specializes in podcasts, web TV, and live streaming productions. So we solved the problem traditional websites have created primarily. So I was doing that business, and primarily what was happening is companies were hiring me to produce their podcast. In the beginning, it was audio, and then eventually moved to video. So I was like the voice of Polycom, for example. Polycom is a company who has those triangle-shaped phones that you see in conference rooms. So I did a bunch of podcasts for those guys. Mostly, like I said, audio. In about 2009, I started to play around with the video idea. In the beginning, video didn't interest me at all because it was way too labor intensive and it required way too much post-production. So I didn't want to screw with it. Then the TriCaster got on my radar, and what happened was I'm like, well, let me check out this TriCaster thing. Let me see what's going on. So I started playing around with that, and these things aren't cheap. I think the first TriCaster we bought was, it's probably $10,000 to $15,000 maybe. SD, but it opened up everything to me, and I realized this is the play. So while I was doing this stuff for corporate companies, I felt like I needed to do more. So at the same time, I went and saw a Cirque du Soleil show, and the show was called Love. Now we've talked about this show before. I went and saw Love, and I've seen a shitload of Cirque shows. I've seen them before we moved here. They would come every year to the Bay Area. I've seen most of the Cirque shows prior to Love here in Las Vegas. So I went and saw Love with Melissa and our girls, and I came out of there and went, what the fuck? What is this? I have never been so affected by a show, any show, in my life. And I came out of there thinking two things. A, pretty proud to be a human, because humans did all that. That's pretty cool. But the second thing was, I didn't feel like I was working hard enough for myself. I wasn't doing enough to contribute, I just didn't feel like I was doing shit. I felt like crap for 3 days after watching that show. love. So at that point, I'm thinking, you know, this podcasting thing I'm doing with Podworks is fine, but you can't scale that. I could only do too many. And I needed to do something that's a bit bigger. Now, I'm a big fan of Las Vegas, so that's how the Vegas Video Network got started. Now, at the same time, I had met two guys who I've talked about, Rip and Wade, and they're my builder Bob. So they also had a TriCaster. They had a really amazing home studio that they built in their garage. You know, Wade can basically build a house in a day. So he had this gorgeous studio, and we became good friends. And I mentioned the whole network thing, and they said, we'll help you do it. We'll help you build whatever you need. And just out of the blue. I just barely knew these guys. You know, I just had dinner. We just had dinner with Rip or Wade last weekend. So they've become very good friends to ours. So I said, okay. So I started searching around for a property, and we got our first studio, 1,000 square feet. At Convention Center Drive, so just down the street from the convention. And we start building. Now, I don't know anything about building shit, so I was basically in charge of washing paintbrushes. Everybody else was in charge of doing stuff, and I loved it. Now, at the same time, I had to start thinking about, okay, what kind of shows are we going to do? I'm not going to do them all. I'm only going to do one in the beginning, and two kind of, but I got to figure out other things to do. So I did a list. I created a list of maybe, that was probably 12 to 15 show ideas, things that I thought would make sense for a network called Vegas Video Network. And then I got smaller and smaller with that list until I thought, okay, I think I really know what this needs to be for this to be successful for us. And so the very first thing I thought was, okay, what are we going to do to focus on what's arguably one of the most well-known aspects of Las Vegas? And of course, I'm talking about drinking. So I thought, I got to have a show about drinking, the bar scene. Now, previous to that, about a year prior, we had our very first meetup, the Vegas Video, or the Living in Las Vegas did. And one of the people we met were a lovely couple named Dave and Alicia Ivy. And I thought they were lovely. We really got along with them. But they were complete experts about the bar scene. What was cool about the Ivies was that they were tourists who happened to live in Las Vegas. So every weekend, they're out at bars and stuff, lounges and pubs and whatever, and they really knew their shit. So I'm like, I got to talk to these guys. So I went out to Dave and Alicia and said, hey, what are the chances of maybe you wanting to be in this show? Now, remember, I'm a guy who I don't have a network. They don't really know me other than the Living in Las Vegas podcast, but they don't know what the hell I'm doing. They can't know whether I'm full of shit or not. By the way, most people in Vegas are full of shit. So they were like, yeah, let's do that. And I'm like, okay, well, let's do it. And so we created Pub Crawl.
Ladies and gentlemen, live just inches from the strip in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada.
Remember that, folks?
Where each week we struggle to recall our adventures in and around Las Vegas, giving a unique perspective on the best places to tear it up in the entertainment capital of the world.
Oh, yeah.
Now, without further ado, and David Ivy.
So we started Pub Crawl. The very first show we did on the Vegas Video Network was Pub Crawl, episode number one. I believe it was October 2nd, 2010. And as you can see in the graphics here, I mean, it was we didn't know what we were doing. We had, you know, the graphics weren't great. The lighting wasn't great. The set wasn't great in the beginning, but we just did it. And God bless their hearts. They just got at it. Now, this whole thing is work. You know, the idea of doing these kind of podcasts is work. But we had such a good time. We also introduced Rat. Rat was a character that you see over there next to David that they had they bought him at a, I don't know, some sort of fair. And I'm like, well, I'll be Rat. And so we did it. And then eventually, we updated the set and it got better and better. But it was, you know, clearly one of the popular shows here on the network. It was a lot of fun to do. But one of the things that we discovered was, you know, this whole podcasting thing can be work. A flea market, that's it. Thanks. And so as time went on, I really realized how nice Dave and Alicia were in that I could tell this was becoming harder and harder for them. You know, they did it for, I think, 3 years or so. And but they were so nice, they didn't want to tell me. So eventually I pulled them inside and said, hey, you know, I can sense this is a lot of work. Let's talk about that. So we talked about it, and we made some adjustments to the schedule. And then I gave them an idea how to, you know, instantly create a whole bunch of episode ideas without really working too hard. And they started going down that path. But what happened was, the reason why we stopped the show was just time. So Alicia is a very important person in the company that she works for. She's traveling all the time. And Dave, you know, for a long time, he was an independent guy, web guy, design guy. But he eventually got a job at one of the casinos here. And it became, you know, a conflict of interest. You can't really talk about a casino fairly if you work for that casino. And there's not much chance that you're going to say something negative about a casino that he works at. As a matter of fact, I said something negative about the casino he works at a couple weeks ago. So based upon that, we decided, okay, we really can't do that. Let's go ahead and call it a day. Now, I will say this, you know, we're still friends, of course, and all that good stuff, but they still do a podcast. So if you want to hear Dave and Alicia, they do a show called Trekcast, which is a very popular Star Trek podcast. So if you look for Trekcast, you'll be able to hear the good people. The good people, Ivy's. Okay, besides drinking, one of the things that was very important back to me back in 2010 was the real estate market. This was a big deal. We had just started to come a little bit out of the hellhole, but it was still pretty fresh for most people. And so I really wanted to do a real estate show, and we did a show called Getting Real in... That's it right here. Getting Real Estate in Vegas. And that's... second logo from the top there. Much different vibe, but again, one of my favorite shows. This starred a gal named Bridget Magnus. And Bridget,
I'm Bridget Magnus. And
Bridget,
this is
right there. And she was fun because she recognized that what I wanted was, I didn't need a lot of fluff and a lot of bullshit. I just wanted the information. So it's a very educational show. And hers was one of the first shows that demonstrated what I thought was true about this kind of medium, and that was she got deals because of this show. So she didn't go around yelling about how smart she is and all the things that she can do and all of her experience. She just demonstrated she knew what she was doing by talking about her business. And same thing, you know, it started off kind of fun and you know, probably not as well produced as it could be. That's not a great angle, for example. We got to kind of figure it out later. My favorite part of her show was called Friday Figures. And here she went into the MLS report every Friday and reported what was going on there. So we got to see these huge fluctuations in inventory and foreclosures, short sales, 30-day sales, what were on contingency. And as you might imagine, as the show and the weeks progressed, we saw those numbers, you know, go bad. So for foreclosures and short sales, for a while it was pretty brutal. But we were also learning about, you know, how much inventory should we have to be normal? And so that was a really nice thing. And it was the same thing. After a while, I mean, I think she did two or three, or actually 3 years. What was the date on that one right there? Hold on. Yeah, so that's almost 3 years out. And it was the same thing. She got so busy that it just made sense for her to end that. Now, the other thing that I really wanted to do, one of the things that I've always been fascinated by is comedy. As a matter of fact, when I was in high school, I thought I might be a stand-up comedian. True story, I was a band geek, and so every lunch we hung out in the band room, and we'd have this little mini stage about this high up, and every lunchtime I did improv, solo improv, just me doing whatever, and I'd pull people from the audience and just joke around with them. I loved it. It's pretty fun stuff. So I have an affinity for comedy. As a matter of fact, when I was, I think, 10 years old, I memorized the first 5 albums of George Carlin. That's what I mean. So I love the idea of having a show where comedians interview comedians. And so we started a show called Awkward Silence. Broadcasting from the Vegas Video Network studios, just steps from the Las Vegas Strip, it's Awkward Silence 2.1. And now, our favorite host. Now, it started off, again, pretty simple stuff. a single host, clean background, just a black, just a table. And we had a host and a co-host. And by the way, here's a picture of me trying to shoot vodka for the, or not vodka, tequila for the first time. That didn't go well. But what came to this was a couple of things. First, I had a chance to meet some interesting people. So for example, I got to meet Kevin Meaney. Kevin Meaney, back when I was in high school and you know my early years out of high school, was a huge comedian. So having him there in my studio was pretty neat. Now, what's funny about him was he accepted the gig and then got kind of freaked out because he thought, you know, is this in somebody's garage? Am I going to get murdered? So he actually had somebody come by and do a check before he showed up. But then I also met, for the first time, Amazing Jonathan. He was a guest. Now, Amazing Jonathan was crazy. He was the first person who told us about the four walls in Las Vegas. A four-wall deal, meaning the casino doesn't pay you. And this is a guy who used to get paid $1 million a year to do comedy. Now what was happening is he was paying for it himself. He told us how much billboards were costing. But he was like, I completely love this because now I keep all the money. At the same time, he was wearing a thong when he came in. He didn't announce that. He just happened to bend over, and we happened to notice that fucker's wearing a thong. It's pretty crazy. And when he felt the interview was over, he just got up and walked out. It was the weirdest thing. So that was the interesting part. The negative part, and this has been kind of a thing with the comedy thing, was that come to find out, most comedians are miserable fucks, miserable people. So I didn't know that. I thought everybody was funny all the time and happy and peppy and bursting with loves. No, they're not. They're miserable, bitchy kind of people who have a pretty rough lifestyle, and it just wasn't much fun. So the first group of awkward silence, it just didn't work out, so we stopped it. Now, you may notice that the latest version of awkward silence was called Awkward Silence 2.1. So after we parted ways with the first host, then I reached out to a local comedian named Don Barnhout. Now, Don was a guest on the first version of Awkward Silence. He is one of those guys who is a hustler. He's putting out press releases for everything he does. He's out there on Facebook. He works to get people to know what he's up to. And he's funny. So I reached out to Don, and Don was really into it. And so we got stuff set up, and I designed logos, and I designed the music, and he couldn't do it anymore. He ended up getting a big gig at some cruise line and had to go. So we had to leave with Don. Another guest we had on the first show was a guy named Brandon Gooch Hahn, who's a radio DJ here locally. He does the drive time at the afternoon, I think it is. Like I said, a guest. And one of the things that was weird, or interesting, I should say, is that when I approached these other two guys, I was really concerned that they wouldn't want to do the show because they were friends with the original host. Come to find out, comedy and loyalty? No. I said to both of them, yeah, I know that you're a friend of Brian's, and they're like, nope, that's not how this works. Oh, okay, great. So Brandon, I met him at, I think it was TGI Fridays over at All Auntie or whatever it was, and he was very nice guy, super friendly. He wanted to make a couple changes to the show, so instead of a straight interview show, he wanted to do a little comedy news thing in the beginning, so we did that. And he wanted to do he had a friend who he wanted her to be, you know, a remote reporter. We did that, but she, of course, was on a green screen that we did every week. And I thought that was great. So we brought in Brandon to do Awkward Silence 2.1, which was fun. That's when I learned even more so that famous comedians can be absolute dicks. Two stories. The first, Gilbert Gottfried. I'm a fan of Gilbert Gottfried. Affleck, for God's sake. Come on. So he shows up, and he's one of those guys that were too cool for the room. Right? Didn't want to be bothered much, didn't want to do much chit-chat, not a lot of hello, not a lot of hi, not a lot of info. He just wanted to fucking do the show. Now, when he got on the show, he was great. If you watch the show back, he's a big laugher. But man, he didn't want to have much time for us outside of just being on the air. So he was bad. He was not the worst. The worst was a guy named Mark Cooper. This is Mark Cooper here. Mark had a show. I think it was called Something with Mr. Cooper. I forget. It was a TV show. So for a while, he was, you know, doing pretty well, making TV money, living the life. Hanging with Mr. Cooper. Thank you, Gregor. Live chat to the rescue, baby. So he comes in, and holy shit, he was the ultimate too cool for the room. Wouldn't look at you. Didn't really want to have anything to do with you. And I'm trying to get him to be comfortable. Can I get you a water? Here's how the show works. Here's the I'm like, what the fuck, man? I'm trying to be a helper bee. Right. Didn't want to have anything to do with it. Now, when he got on, same thing as before. Pretty friendly guy. You can see he's being playful there. But I'll tell you what, man. I couldn't wait for that guy to get out of there. Now, on the other hand, one of the most surprising guests I thought might be one of the most difficult. And that guest was, of all people, Andrew Dice Clay. Andrew Dice Clay! Now, his was a weird story. He comes, so we did this show. It was live every Friday at noon. We picked Friday because that's when all the comedians were coming in for the weekend. So, live show Friday at noon. We're starting the show whether the guest is there or not. So that particular Friday when we had Dice, guess what? Friday at noon came. He wasn't there. I'm like, we got to go. Let's see what you're made of, Brandon. Let's fucking do the show. So we start the show. We're off and running. Remember, the first few minutes of that were a comedy news thing and this remote reporter thing. So we're in the middle of this. We're probably 3 or 4 minutes into it. Dice walks in with his entourage. Now, normally, I'd want to, you know, formally greet him, offer a water, sit him down, give him some. I had no time. We were in the middle of a live show. So I rush up to him. Hey, Dice, how you doing? I'm Scott. Put a mic on him. Say, at the break, you're going to sit in that chair. Didn't have time to set his sound. Didn't have time to set his cameras. We were just going to wing it. So he gets in there. I'm like, oh, this could go really south. I mean, he could be pissed off about 1,000 different things. But I'm like, what the fuck? Mark? You know, so anyways, the break comes, he goes, sits down, and he kills it. Kills it. So funny. And remember, this is a guy who at one time played Madison Square Garden. Fuck. So he, if anybody's going to have an attitude, Dice would be the guy. Nope. Super friendly, played along, really got into it. God, it was outstanding. But it got better. After the show was done, it was a half-hour show, pretty quick show. Instead of just bailing and saying, yeah, you gotta go, hickory dickory dock. No, he hung around. He was really interested in what we were doing. Asked me a lot of questions about, you know, the studio and how I was doing things and how the live stuff was working in pod. He really was interested in what was going on. Come to find out, he eventually did a podcast with a guy. But here's the cool thing. I'm gonna tell you about a show later on that would not have happened if it wasn't for Andrew Dice Clay. Right? So Andrew Dice Clay, I owe him money. Now, if we go back to our list of logos, we're going to see that the next show that we put up was my own show. You're probably aware of that. The show after that, though, you'll see is called Strip Search. This is an example of me thinking I knew something and clearly not knowing it. But I learned a very valuable lesson that is still in play today. Here's the lesson. So at this time, I'm like, okay, what can I do to get some people, to get more of a social media play, right? And there are these two guys here in Vegas who had a large Twitter following, brothers. And I didn't know them real well, but, you know, through some variety of connections or whatever, I became aware of them. I thought, okay, here we are. These guys have this huge following. I'll reach out to them. I'll teach them how to be hosts. Boom, their huge following will bring in traffic to us. Life will be good. This is a very brilliant idea. So we came up with this show idea called Strip Search, which is a great title, by the way, right? Searching the strip for ideas and shows and shit. Fuck, great title. So I bring these two guys in, and we do this show, and a couple things. Just because you want somebody to do a show doesn't mean they can do a show. So it was a little rough in that regard. And it became pretty clear that these guys weren't going to be great. They were very uncomfortable. You could tell that. You know, they brought in one good guest, and that was Dana Roselli, I think her name is. She was on Channel 8. She got kicked off of Channel 8. Now she's on Channel 13. Super nice guest. Super friendly. She was great. You know, she's somebody who could have gone, what the fuck am I on? But she handled it real well. But here's what I learned that was fascinating. Like I said, these guys had 15, 20, 30,000 Twitter followers. Of that number, guess how many of those people showed up and watched the live show or on-demand show? The answer is not fuck all, not one. They couldn't generate any traffic whatsoever. And I could tell, because we have residual traffic just from being on the network. People on our network get traffic just because they're on the network, naturally. They were doing nothing. It was nothing. It was shocking about this. We got 50,000 people. And that's the ticket. First of all, they got pinged with not having a lot of real followers, but that's not even the point. The point is, social media is bullshit when it comes to getting humans to engage. And here's what I mean. Look at the Kardashians. I don't know how many followers Kim Kardashian has. Let's say it's 100 million. Look how many people like or retweet or whatever. Thousands, hundreds of thousands. But if you look at it as a percentage, it's less than 1%. Less than 1% of people are actually doing what Kardashian asked for. Nobody sees that because there's so many. So it's kind of like the advertising on broadcasting. Oh, yeah, we've got several million people watching. How the fuck you do? You have 7 million people who can watch, but there's no way you know that. But we're going to pay on the guests, and they're doing that with the Kardashian stuff. I've got millions and millions of people following. Well, I can see that. I've got, you know, these people thumbs upping, but it's such a small number. And I learned with that show there, the Strip Search, that having a big following doesn't mean shit. And this became true over and over and over again on all these different shows. We have a large number of famous people on a variety of our shows. It almost never translated to from social media to actual viewers. There's one exception, and I'll tell you about that a little bit later. So that really let me down. Now, one of the other things that we wanted to do is I've always wanted to do a friendly show. So the next show that we brought on the network is a show called Cup of Morning Sunshine, which was my show. And Cup of Morning Sunshine, the idea was good news, good stuff. I just wanted to have happy stuff. That was the first. And the other one is I wanted to use one of our virtual sets. So this is the set of Cup of Morning Sunshine. It's one of the virtual sets that we have. And you can see it's very nice. It's kind of fun. Very friendly. I taught you how to troll a drumstick. I taught you a great hangover recipe. I taught you how to fill out a resume. I taught you how to remotely be in two places at one time. It was a pretty cool show. It was, like I said, fun to do. I think my favorite was probably the trolling the drumstick stuff. But the insight was, you know what? The good news thing doesn't really resonate with a lot of people. You've probably heard the term, if it bleeds, it leads. I discovered that with Cup of Morning Sunshine. Now, we came out saying I knew I was going to do 10 episodes and just be done with it. I just wanted to create a virtual set-based show that was friendly and happy and peppy and bursting with love. If there had been a lot more viewers, I probably would have extended it. But A, you know, it didn't bleed, so it really didn't lead. B, I was pretty busy producing 5 other shows. C, it just didn't really resonate. So we put an end to that show, like I said, after 10 episodes. But you can still watch it today if you'd like. All right. So that was the first group of shows that we used to launch the network. Right? So Pub Crawl, Getting Real, Awkward Silence, Strip Search, and Cup of Morning Sunshine. Oh, I forgot to play the music for Cup of Morning Sunshine. Isn't that nice? Actually, here's what it looked like. There it is. Isn't that fun? Whee! All right, that's enough of that. Okay, so that was phase 0.04 of the Vegas Video Network. So we did that for a while, wanted to make sure we're good. And then I wanted to do some more. So I'm a big fan of magic. And Doug Geinzer, who's now on the network, as a matter of fact, introduced me to a gentleman named Steve Dacry. And the show we did was called Behind the Curtain. And Steve's deal was he was a close-up magician, arguably one of the best close-up magicians in the world at the time. He was considered top 3, top 5. Fascinating guy. Holy crap. He's been around, you know, forever in the magic world, in the Vegas world. And he's an old school guy. So when we first met, you know, we were supposed to be a half hour meeting over at one of the station casinos. We ended up together for 4 hours just bullshitting, drinking, and talking. But then he wanted to do the next step, which was to have you and your wife meet me and my wife to break bread. So we broke bread at Benihana's at LVH at the time. Why? Because he had a show there and he wanted me to see the show. It was an amazing show. I love close-up magic. So we started this show called Behind the Curtain. And it was funny. One of the segments towards the end was he was going to do a magic trick with his guest. The guest was usually the person who was picking the card or doing whatever. And so I'm like, okay, now I'm talking to magic people. I'm going to get some inside scoop about the magic world. So I'm like, all right, Steve, we've got four cameras on this show. Where do you want me to put the cameras so, we don't see the trick or whatever? He's like, I don't care. No, you understand. I can put the cameras anywhere, and I'm going to see. He goes, I don't care. You can put the cameras anywhere. So we did, and we didn't see shit. This guy was fucking fantastic. That was the good news. The bad news was he was terminally ill, and I didn't know that. And he never let on. He never told anybody. The only way I eventually found out was one of his guests, a gal named Charlie Kale, told me that she'd known him for a long time. He used to be much heavier. And he was pretty thin here, but this is where I met for the first time Robin Leach. Robin and I now have a fun little interaction every time he sees me. The Vegas Video Network will never survive. 1,000 episodes, Robin. But he's actually a very nice guy, super friendly. And he was a funny guy. We actually delayed the first live show for him. And he's like, I thought you were live at 3. We were. You should start the show. It's live TV. Well, it's actually not live TV, but I appreciate that. So super nice guy. Steve, who's on the right side, super nice guy. That's Steve Conley, who's currently at Four Queens. Had a great time. Enjoyed working with him. But like I said, he passed away just suddenly. Well, suddenly for me, I think a lot of people knew. So after 5 shows, we basically said, that's it. We're done. We can't do much more beyond that. Then we started to look at sports betting. One of the comedians I met through Awkward Silence was a gentleman named Scott Pritchard. And Scott is a fucking go-getter. He's also a professional sports bettor. And I've always been fascinated by it, but I'm confused by over, under, fuck, I do now. But the sides, money lines, jeez. So I really wanted to do a show that focused on that kind of content. So we came up with a show called Let's Bet.
Welcome to Let's Bet. I'm your host, Scott Pritchard.
Yes, you are, Scotty. Another virtual set-based deal. And this was the first time we got to use my conspirator here at the Vegas Video Network, which was Jacob Cannon. So Jacob was, joined the network immediately at the beginning of it. It was pretty funny. Jacob was really into it. He really wanted to be on it. I'm like, okay, well, here's kind of what it is. It's a new thing where I'm unsure if it's going to, be a play, but here's the idea. Here's the plan. Here's my thinking. He's like, yeah, I'm in. But actually, his wife, Sally, interviewed me to make sure it wasn't a full of shit kind of story. So I passed the audition, and we put Jacob on as Scott's co-host. It was a really fun show. Got to learn lots of neat stuff. Still don't remember half of it, but enjoyed the idea of getting a sports flavor into the Vegas Video Network, and that became a theme for a variety of shows moving forward. In the live chat, Jacob is awesome. I agree. Good show. Enjoyed it. Ray liked it in the live chat. Well, yeah, it was our first time doing a sports show, and I really enjoyed it. I liked it because Scott, many sports handicappers who I eventually met aren't terribly groovy, but Scott's one of the nicest guys you ever met. So we did that show. Took a break on it, and during that time, another sports show came up, and it was a show called Golf and Other Four-Letter Words.
Coming to you live from the Vegas Video Network studios, just steps from the Las Vegas Strip, it's Golf and Other Four-Letter Words. And now your host, you've heard him on ESPN, Fox Sports, and Sirius XM Radio.
Yes, you
do. Mr. Dennis Silver.
So Dennis was the first person we had who was a traditional broadcaster. He'd done TV. He'd done primarily radio. So it was interesting getting him in there because, you know, it required us to say, you know, are we up to snuff to the broadcast world? And come to find out, we were. Dennis also introduced me to Brett Grant. You know, Brett is the managing partner over at KSHP Radio. And the thing about Dennis that was pretty fun is Dennis is a go-getter. He's a solid guy. And he's done radio for a long time. And, you know, his radio is brokered radio, meaning he would pay to be on the radio. He would go out and get advertisers, and that would be how he made his money. So he was very used to that world, and we were always talking about that kind of thing. So I really enjoyed his company in regards to that. He also introduced me to Brett, and the reason behind that was to get our content syndicated on KSHP. So because of that connection, all the shows at that point ended up being on KSHP as well. What was fascinating about the deal with Dennis and Golf and Other Four-Letter Words is I met the most famous person I had met at that point, a guy named Bill Engvall. So Bill is a big-time comedian, redneck comedian, was huge at the time, and just a big golf fan. So I'm not really sure how it happened, but Bill ended up on Golf and Other Four-Letter Words. And here's the thing that was so cool about Bill. He comes in, it's probably a half hour before the show, so he wasn't, you know, late, comes into the show. He's got a cup of coffee. His entourage was non-existent. There was no entourage. It was just Bill. Hey, everybody, how are you doing? Couldn't be nicer. Didn't talk about comedy. Just talked about golf, how much he loved golf. Afterwards, he hung around. We took pictures. As a matter of fact, we ended up going to his concert. It was such a lovely experience. I will never forget how cool Bill Engvall was. So God bless his little heart. Now, at the same time, I'm like, okay, somehow we got to get the entertainment world involved here. And so I wanted to do a show, you know, very much like the comedians interviewing comedians, but only happier. I wanted to do a show where entertainers were interviewing entertainers. Now, at the time, I became aware of a gentleman named Zoe Bowie, whose real name is Chris Phillips. And was introduced to him via a mutual friend. I met him once. He was a nice enough guy. You know, Chris is the kind of guy that when he meets you, I think he's got a Clinton vibe to him. When he meets you, you think, God, he thinks the world of you. Hey, my friend, how are you, buddy? It's great to be. He looks you in the eye. Yeah, like, fuck, this guy loves me. Well, he wasn't quite like that with me. But I'm like, this guy is pretty interesting. He's charismatic. He's interesting looking. Fake hair, fake teeth, fake tan, 1,000 rings, jewelry. Awesome. So I reached out to him. I'm like, hey, Chris, you don't know me. I run the Vegas Video Network. We met some time ago. I have an idea for a show that I think you would be great at. Would you be open to meet? Sure. So we met. I met him at some steak place where he had salad and his girlfriend was there, who is allegedly crazy at the time. And we started talking about this, and we came up with the idea of Talktales, another one of my favorite shows. So we worked it out, did a couple rehearsals, and his very first guest was this gentleman right here, Anthony Cools, who's a big-time hypnotist here in the Las Vegas. And man, this was fun. A couple really funny things happened here. So first, Melissa was flirting with this guy here, and I wanted to kill her. Oh, yeah, let's hear the music. Hold on, stand by. There it is.
Broadcasting live from the Vegas Video Network studios, just steps from the Las Vegas Strip, it's Talktales.
There you go. So a couple really funny things happened during this show. The first was this gentleman here. So that's Frankie Moreno, who we've talked about many times. Unbelievably talented gentleman here on the Strip. So we had him come by. He was doing his show at the Stratosphere at the time. And what you're looking at, this shot right here, what you're seeing is Frankie basically saying this. You know, this drinking on the show, I don't think it's a great idea. That's what he was saying right then. I said off camera, I don't know, Frankie, I think it's a pretty great idea. And then he said, you know what? This is a great idea. It was awesome. Frankie was the first person we ever saw get drunk on the Vegas Video Network show. God bless his little heart, because they were pounding Crown Royal. So that was fun. Here's the other thing that happened with this show. Many people to this day use their appearance, the creation of a show on the network, to help establish their credibility in a field outside what they are directly known as. So a lot of entertainers here, for example, are known for what they do on stage, but there's a short life to that. So for instance, for Chris, Zoe Bowie is a hip-hop show. Well, this is a 50-year-old guy with fake hair, fake tan, fake teeth. That's not sustainable. There's more to Chris than that. And one of the things he wanted to prove is that he can host shows. He can be that guy. Come to find out, people saw that. So as a result of his appearance on Talk Tales, his hosting that show, a producer here, a local producer who's pretty well known, reached out to Chris and asked him if he wanted to host a show called Name That Tune, which they put on the strip. And so directly related to his proof that he can do that on the Vegas Video Network, he got to become host for Name That Tune on the strip. Huge play for him. That was the good news. The bad news was, because he was doing that show, he couldn't be on our show anymore. So I'm like, well, fuck, okay. So he had to go. And in return, we got Kelly Clinton. Kelly is a kaleidoscope of talent, believe me. And she was a sweetheart. Really enjoyed working with her. She brought in some famous people as well. That there is your Huggy Bear. And over there, well, that, God bless you, is George Wallace. And the most famous of all, Rich Little comes in. All these guys were hanging out in Las Vegas, and she knows everybody. You know, part of the job of a host is to bring people in. And good God, she was bringing some pretty cool people in. This was a fun show. And this was the first time I saw an entertainer who had an amazing work ethic. Kelly Clinton is a worker bee. And she got that gig, by the way, because she was a guest on Chris Phillips' version of Talk Tales. And actually, she wasn't the primary guest. We brought on Clint and her to talk. And I saw him. I'm like, good God, man. These guys are great. She's hysterical. So I reached out to her, same kind of thing. Hey, would you be interested? And she was thrilled to do it. She came in and just knocked it out of the park. And like I said, work ethic, check this out. So occasionally she'd have a show to do on a Monday when we did these shows Monday at 5 o'clock. So what would she do? She wouldn't say, hey, Scott, I can't make the show. No, what she would do is say, hey, I can't make Monday 2 weeks from now. So 1 week from now, can I shoot two shows in a row so that the next week we can play one of those shows? She was thinking that way. Fucking awesome. So as a matter of fact, the George Wallace show, we did George Wallace, and then right after that, I forgot his name now. But it was, you know, back to back. It was very, very cool. She did this probably half a dozen times. So I think that she is awesome. And if you ever have a chance to go see her, she's down at the Bootlegger every Monday, go see Kelly, because she's all that in a bag of chips. Now, the other thing that's obviously really big in Las Vegas that I wanted to tap into was food. So we came up with a show idea called Top of the Food Chain.
Coming to you live from the Vegas Video Network Studios, just steps from the Las Vegas Strip, it's Top of the Food Chain. And now your host, he's one part mohawk, two parts attitude, and a touch of what the f***, it's Al Mancini.
Yeah, top of the food chain, everybody. This was cool. This show allowed all the fancy stuff happening here to become much more accessible to the rest of us. So, for example, I would never eat at a French restaurant. One of our first guests was a guy who, you know, was an expert in this. And he basically said, you know, this is the wrong attitude. We love people. We're trying to make it easy for people. I'm like, okay, well, I'll try a French restaurant. It was a great experience. So we had all kinds of fun people on this show, including famous people as well. So that's Vegas Vic, or Vic Vegas. I forget. He was a reality show guy. It was real big. And another example of a guy who was super friendly, had a lot of fun. We had smoke and fire and all kinds of food. And that was one of the great things about that show is, you know, they'd bring in food or they'd bring in drinks and they would leave them for us. And here's the second example of a show proving that somebody can do more than what they're known for. So Al Mancini, the guy on the right with the mohawk, Al is a reporter. So he writes for a variety of magazines and newspapers here in Las Vegas. He's an excellent writer, but he wanted to do more, like many people do. So he was able to use his appearance and his hosting on Top of the Food Chain that got him recognition for a show on the Travel Channel. As a matter of fact, he was hosting the show with this gentleman right here. So they got a gig. Again, he could point to the show and go, yeah, this is me on Top of the Food Chain. We're on the Vegas Video Network. We're a big distribution. This is pretty. And they're like, well, shit, look at you. You actually can do TV. We'll bring you on. And so they, I think they shot 8 or 9 shows for, the, I think it was the Travel Channel. And it ended up not getting on TV. I think there was some controversial stuff that happened. Not really sure exactly what the story was. I've heard a couple of things, but I'm not real clear on it. So it didn't eventually work out for him, but you know, he got the gig as a result of it, so that's pretty cool. Okay, now for all those shows that I mentioned, I was producing them all, which means I was paying for them all. That's fine, but after a while, A, having 11 shows running at one time is a lot of work, and B, we weren't making money from the shows. And C, what we discovered was we were bringing people in to do these shows, but they weren't really committed to the show. There's a level of commitment that changes if you are investing in the show yourself. And so we decided to change things a little bit and welcome the opportunity for people to actually invest in the show. And the first one was a huge one for the Vegas Video Network. So that show was a show called Vegas Sports Day. Broadcasting from the Vegas Video Network studios, live from the Las Vegas Strip, Covers.com presents Vegas Sports Day. And now from the sports betting capital of the world, here are your hosts, Teddy and the Professor.
It's Monday in Sin City.
And that's it, Vegas Sports Day. So this was executive produced, paid for by a company called Covers.com, which is the largest sports handicapping website in the world. So they came out and actually the professor, Dave Malinsky, that's the guy on the left-hand side, discovered us and kind of vetted us, and you know, we went through the basically interview process, and this was our first daily show. So we did a show Monday through Friday. I think it was at 9:45, 9:30, or 10 o'clock. I forget what time it was in the morning every single day, and this was without question the most complicated show we've ever done on the network. To give you an example, so Malinsky, again the guy on the left-hand side, wrote the script for the show. This was an amazingly rough show to do. So right now, we have what's called a show planner for Vegas Video Network shows. And those shows are usually about 1 or 2 pages long. This show here was 10 pages of script every day, 5 days a week. We did 127 episodes. How many graphics, how many assets? 30. Lower thirds, graphics, videos. It was unbelievably complicated. And we were doing things with TriCasters that I'd never seen anybody do before. So we were on the bleeding edge. It was an amazingly good show, and it was not used to its potential. I think at the beginning, Covers were like, I'm not really sure these guys know what they're doing, so we're going to kind of bury it in case it goes bad. Okay, fine. So we did a bunch of shows, and it was great. But they just kind of buried it. And then we're like, hey, guys, you guys are paying serious money for this. You might want to actually show your customers the show. So we got them to kind of create a page that was buried behind a. It was just the weirdest thing. But some people started to recognize it. But they kept burying it. And it was one of those things where, Peter had to tell Paul, to tell Mary, to tell Fred to get shit done. So shit didn't get done. Eventually, we got a link from the homepage. But by then, they were like, we're not seeing any return on investment. Well, of course you're not seeing any return on investment. You're not showing anybody this show. So what was an amazing show, technically great, the information, man, it was fascinating. It just didn't get done. So that went away. But it took 127 episodes, so it took a long time. During that same time, I wanted to keep the sports thing alive. So we did a show called The Odds Couple.
Broadcasting live from the KSHP studios in the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada.
It's time to get a bright side of sports betting. It's time for the Odds Couple.
Now, you'll notice in that it said that they're at KSHP. It actually started as another one of the virtual set shows in the studio itself. Looked great, sounded fun. We had two people. Again, we brought Scott Pritchard back, who was in our very first sports show, and then a comedian named Anthony Padilla, who was heading over at LVH at the time. So we did it there for a while. And at the same time, we were talking to Brett Grant about what was going on there. And we started talking about, is it a way that we can shoot high-quality video in his radio station? So we actually transferred the show from the Vegas Video Network. We took some equipment, put it on his site, and started shooting the show from KSHB stations. So we did that for a while. Anthony then left, and we brought in Brett. So Brett's first appearance solidly on the Vegas Video Network was on The Odds Couple. And as many of you know, Brett is a killer sports guy, arguably one of the best sportscasters I've ever read or ever heard. So he fit in really, really well. And man, we had a lot of fun there. This is one of the most enjoyable times I had on the show. Scott Pritchard lost a bet, and so he shaved his head on air. He didn't seem to think that was funny, but I thought it was great. Now, remember I told you that Andrew Dice Clay got me a deal? Well, he did. It was because of Andrew Dice Clay that FSC Live, which FSC stands for Fremont Street Experience Live, happens. Here's how this all happened. So Andrew Dice Clay appears on our network, loves what we're doing. He tells a comedian friend of his, you got to check out this Vegas Video Network stuff. You've been talking about doing stuff. You got to check out what Whitney's doing. It's pretty cool. So this guy reaches out to me, and we meet, and we talk, and we bullshit for a while. He goes, oh, man, you've got to meet this guy who's running the hotel right next to you. We're on Convention Center Drive, and the Royal Resort was right next to her. He said, you got to meet the guy who's running that. I'm like, okay. So I reach out to that guy. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm next door. I'll come by. So he comes by. We bullshit. We become friends. He's a great guy. He goes, oh, man, you've got to meet Jeff Victor. Who's Jeff Victor? He's the president of the Fremont Street Experience. I think this would be perfect for what they're doing. Okay. So I met Jeff. And come to find out, Jeff really liked what we were doing. So this was an incredibly difficult shoot. This is from the very first episode of FSC Live. This is Jeff and I sitting on the Main Street stage. You can see the Fremont Street Experience below us or behind us. It was exciting, but amazingly complicated. So it was four cameras. We basically moved our studio out of our studio onto there every week. So we had four cameras. We had confidence monitors. We had tally lights, speakers. Man, it was a bitch. Plus, it was winter. So it got cold, so cold sometimes that the cables started to get stiff, which is not a feature, typically. But man, oh man, it was a fascinating show.
All things St. Patrick's Day, as only Las Vegas can do it.
Live from the Fremont Street Experience in downtown Las Vegas, it's FSE Live with your host, Jeff Victor.
Good stuff, man. And Jeff turned into be an outstanding host. His was an interesting thing. Again, you know, they invested in this, and we spent months rehearsing with Jeff in our studio before we put him out on the actual the show itself, and watching him get better and better and better. Man, that was so fun. And we're still friends today. He did a great job. He loved it. It was super beneficial. He used it as a tool to meet people in the other areas around Fremont. So Fremont East was just kind of kicking off then. So we had a segment called Meet the Neighbors, where he'd be bringing people over there, people down from 3rd Street. It was very, very smart, very strategic tool for them to bring people in and show them, hey, this is pretty cool shit we're doing. We'd love to bring you guys in here as well to be a part of what we're doing and kind of share the wealth, if you will. So super, super smart. The challenge with that show was A, super complicated. B, was right then that time when he decided to build Slotzilla. And Slotzilla took a boatload of time and money, and he just didn't have time to do it again. So that's why that show stopped. And then since then, I became not interested in trekking there. It basically took us 12 hours to shoot a half-hour show, which is a lot of work. But again, it was a pretty cool show. So at that same time, I was like, you know, with Talk Tales was kind of this idea of being Playboy after dark, right? The part where you're sitting around the lounge and having a drink and bullshitting with your friends. I wanted to take that to the next step. So I reached out to the Stratosphere because they had Frankie Marino there. I had already, you know, met him through Talk Tales and thought, this guy would be fascinating if we could do a show from his dressing room. I'd been in his dressing room. It was pretty groovy looking. I'm like, let's do a show here. So Frankie's all into it. And so I pitched it to the good folks at the Stratosphere. And they were like, okay, let's do that. So we created After Dark with Frankie Moreno. And it was a hoot, man. This is the second show where if you watch this show long enough, you're going to see people get seriously drunk. As a matter of fact, on that graphic, right? Let me see. There's Chris Phillips. This graphic right here on the left-hand side, you see Frankie's brother. This is...
Hi, I'm Claire Sinclair.
Oh, yeah, Claire Sinclair did the opening video for us as well. It was so funny watching this. So... Frankie's brother is drinking, and they're drinking Crown, and we had all kinds of people in there, and they basically would rotate, and we were interviewing people, Frankie was, and he was playing some songs and taking questions from the live chat. It was really fun. Meanwhile, his brother's just pounding alcohol. By the end of it, he was wasted off of his ass, made for exciting TV. I think it made the Stratosphere a little nervous because they didn't want to do another one. But I tell you what. Frankie wanted to do another one. He wants to do another one right now. So it was so much fun. And who knows? Maybe we'll do something else later. But if you get a chance, go watch that show. It's pretty crazy. Now, remember I got to tell you that I met Amazing Jonathan. And I got wind that Amazing Jonathan was doing a show called Burn Unit. He was shooting it at the Las Vegas Club. Remember that? And so I went to check it out because I'm a fan, and it was a shit show. It was horrible. Couldn't hear it, couldn't see it. Everything was bad. It just was horrible. And this is my guy. This is, you know, I used to be one of his biggest fans. I'm like, I can't have that. So I reached out to him. I said, hey, I see you're doing this show. It's not helping your story. Why don't you come check us out?
Amazing Jonathan. So he said, it's time for one of my favorite jokes.
Okay, we'll do
a lady's husband passes away.
So he comes
away,
by
he
and we check it out.
Like
and let me just play the music. All right, here we go.
The columnist says there.
Go. There it is. So we end up doing Burn Unit.
Burn Unit with your host, the amazing Jonathan.
So he comes in, and this is an example. Kelly was good at this, too. When we did the show, he had that room filled with audience people. 20, 30 people were in that studio when he was doing the show. And it went from looking like hell to being a really interesting show. For example, this was the very first episode. They had people coming in, and this guy's got two drills that he's drilling through his nasal cavity, and it's coming out of his mouth. Yep. That was crazy and a little kooky. And there's one of his bits where he's got a little baby arm. And there's Amazing Jonathan again. So this is one of those examples where, you know, it's pretty exciting to meet your comedic heroes, but not so much. He was pretty tired at this point. You know, he was working hard to try to make this stuff happen, but he was pretty beat up. You know, and come to find out, he has a pretty serious heart condition, which I didn't know at the time. But you know, I think that made him a little unhappy at times, and we had some disagreements on what we thought would be a good idea. His idea for the very first episode was having some woman popping ping pongs out of her vagina, and I said that wasn't going to happen. And he really didn't like that. He didn't like being told no. How Prince-like, right? So, but it was my network. And although he was paying to be on it, you know, I had, you know, requirements to deal with. And so I said, that's not going to happen. And so he was pissed. I mean, pissed. And this is about, I had told him not to do it. about 5 minutes before the show, the ping pong girl pops in. I'm like, you're not on. I don't know what the fuck you think you're doing, but you're not being on this show. And told him that, and this is 5 minutes before the show. He's fucking pissed at me. I'm like, okay, well, this is great. So we ended up doing the show, kind of got things through there, but it just wasn't much fun. It was an example of, I thought this would be great, but there was a lot of folks around there that just didn't feel quite right. And he, by the way, I'm sure I didn't feel quite right to him. I was probably too square in his world. So we parted ways, and he went on doing the show other places and ended up eventually telling people publicly that, you know, he probably didn't have a year to live. That was about a year or so ago, a little bit more than a year. He's still kicking around. I still see him around. And actually, we ended up kind of making up. That same year, I bought some really nice Christmas presents for folks, and I delivered it to him at his house. And he was just so sweet about it, really appreciative. He actually went out and started grabbing things to give me for Christmas. Of course, he didn't plan on doing that, but I showed up. And he's like, well, here, let me get you this, and how about this? It was kind of nutty, kind of sweet, a little odd. But I appreciated that. And that was around the time that I just started to start the co-op, the Vegas Video Co-op. So I put the network on hiatus for a while so I could focus on what I wanted this co-op thing to do. So I started the co-op, got things working, knew that that was going to be a success. And at that same time, Brett Grant got involved with the co-op. And so we were shooting a bunch of videos for him. And he knew about the Vegas Video Network. Living in Las Vegas podcast. I had put that on hiatus as well. And Mike Hughes, boo, 18 months of doom. And so Brett kept hassling me about, you got to bring the network back. You got to bring the Living in Las Vegas podcast back, and I want to be your co-host. I'm like, okay, all right, God damn it. Let's just do that. So change the way the network was going to work. So in the live chat, Danny's husband asks, how do I make money? Well, this is how I make money. I make money on the Vegas, on living in Las Vegas when I take advertising, but that's not why I do this show. I do this show to prove that I know how to do online productions. So it's a proof of concept. There's two reasons why you do shows. From a producer, you make money or you motivate people to take action on your behalf. This show that you're seeing right now helps other people go, oh, he actually knows what he does. He's eating his own dog food. And people watch this and go, yeah, I think I want him to help me as well. So I decided and looking at the shows previously, the people who were investing were people who were serious about doing the work. They put their head down. They did the homework. They were prepared. They wanted to be a part of this. I love that. So when we started the network back up, I said, okay, we'll bring people on, but you've got to invest in yourself. You've got to believe in your own bullshit. If you don't believe in it, you cannot be on the network. It's not a play for you. But if you do believe it, I will give you the tools to do the work. And that's what happened moving forward. So the very first show that after I brought my show on. So my show has always been kind of like the anchor of the network because it's the longest running. It has the most views, the most listeners. But then we brought on a show called Trash Talking. Whoops. Called Trash Talking with Legends.
Broadcasting live from the Vegas Video Network studios, just steps from the Las Vegas Strip, it's time to release the junkyard dog. It's time for Trash Talking with Legends.
So that show
welcome
featured...
Welcome back. Oh, it's Trash Talking with Legends. Hello, we are back.
Jerome Williams, Jerome JYD, Junkyard Dog Williams. NBA basketball player for 9 years. Met him through Brett. And he wanted to get into broadcasting. This is another example of somebody who had been the guest on a bunch of shows, including a show that Brett was on. But he wanted to be able to prove that he could host a show. And that's why he did Trash Talking with Legends. So he and his brother were co-hosts on that show. And this was another real, I thought it was a good show. I thought he did good work. Good preparation. We came up with a bunch of segments. We had good graphics, good music, all that good stuff, much of which, you know, were in his kind of urban market kind of deal. And it got to the point where he thought he was, you know, doing great work. And so he wanted to create his own station, his own network. And so he did. I don't know that it's done anything, but he decided he wanted to go off and try that. And I'm like, yeah, go do that. That sounds like a good idea. As a matter of fact, he asked me to build it for him, and I, you know, gave him a number, and he thought, well, you know, we can do it ourselves, and so he did. And I'm not so sure how successful it is, but God bless his heart. He's out there, you know, hustling, and I dig that. He's one of those guys that has a lot of things going on at the same time, so I'm not sure if he's able to, has been focused on this broadcasting stuff. But he had, you know, he had the opportunity to do it. I could see that he was close. He wasn't 100% there at times. He was a little off. But there are moments where I could tell this guy has got some good stuff going on. Next, we came up with, I think we all know this in the live chat, niche to profit. This is another example of the two different businesses that I have working together. So niche to profit, this is with Danny Ackerman. Danny, of course, is in the live chat. Danny was a co-op member. And had been doing a lot of shows there and decided she wanted to do a podcast. Now, she had been doing some of her own live streaming, and she was struggling with just the technology. There was a lot of mistakes, a lot of problems technology-wise, and it made it difficult for her to do exactly what I'm doing right now, is pushing this button, hitting that monitor, doing this, looking at... It's a lot of work. It takes focus away from what you're trying to do. So we started using the co-op to create her own shows, and I was giving her those shows that she could then deal with herself, and she realized, man, this is a pain in the ass. So we decided to put this on the Vegas Video Network. And this is one of the shows that I use as my example of how to do a show correctly. This is the show I talk about every single time I talk to somebody who wants to know how a show should be done. Now, why do I say that? Here's why. I think I said a little while ago, I said, you know, the key for a producer is that they want to either make money or motivate people to take action on their behalf. Most people come to me and say, I want to make money in the show through advertising. They are almost always wrong. What they don't recognize is, you know, the guidelines for podcast advertising are not very pleasant. To make $47 from an advertiser in a podcast, you have to have 1,000 views every single episode. In the podcasting world, that is a lot. That's a lot. Most people can't come to that number, but they think they can. They think they should get hundreds of dollars, and they're just not. It's not worth it. And they're wrong. But the real value of a great podcast, a business podcast like Niche to Profit, is to demonstrate your credibility without claiming it. In other words, to motivate people to take action on your behalf. This show is perfect for that. So this show, you know, moved around a little bit in the beginning. Right now, I think it's in the pocket. Here's what she does. The beginning of the show, it's an hour show, by the way, which is a long show. It's hard to fill an hour. She does that without much problem whatsoever. First half of the show is a single topic. She might interview somebody, or she might give, you know, her talk about, for instance, being in a niche or shipping or whatever. And I prefer actually when she just does her own thing, because she gets to demonstrate she knows what the hell she's talking about, instead of relying on guests who may or may not know what the fuck they're talking about. But the real power for her in the niche that she's in right now and the people she's reaching out right now is the second half of the show. Because her job is to teach people how to sell on eBay. So she has a membership thing that she's tweaking right now, but she's got this membership thing that people sign up to be a member of the Danny app. And so what happens is in the second half, she's like, okay, here's how to do things. Our first segment's called Why Won't They Buy? What do they do on that? I'm gonna show you a bunch of listings on eBay, and I'm gonna show you why these things aren't selling. That topic's wrong, your pictures are wrong. Why are you charging for shipping? Blah, 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 blah. And she's visually showing you this because her laptop is another camera in our world. We pop it up, people can see that. So she's literally giving this stuff away for free. So here's what happens. You listen to this or you watch this and you're like, God damn, she's giving away all this information for free. I could take her advice right now, do it, benefit from it, and I'm not paying her a fucking penny. She's doing that for free. imagine what she charges for, right? It's a huge play. So she teaches people how this does not work, and she has another segment called Hot Sales of the Week. It's just the opposite. Here's why this listing worked. And by the way, claiming credibility without having to say anything, people who are in the why won't they buy, many of them end up in the hot sale of the week. They do what she told you. Guess what? You're in hot sale. She's not telling you she's good. She's fucking proving she's good. It is brilliant. And then her final segment is pick it or pass it. She shows you a picture of this thing here. Did I pick this or did I pass it? Here's some clues to what it is. Guess and win some stuff. It is very, 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 very smart. Now, she's struggling with, okay, am I charging enough for her business? That's a business decision that she has to have and a business decision that we have chatted about. But the way that show is positioned is perfect for what she's doing. Literally perfect. Another show that we had on the network is called Conversations with Jess Talk and Lisa Listen. A lovely couple. It is Jesse and Lisa Farrell. They are personal coaches. One of the fun things with this show was I had the opportunity to meet Louis Gossett Jr. How cool is that? Welcome. He was super nice as well.
Call Conversations.
Here's Jess talking right there.
I am Jesse.
His was a funny deal, Mr. Gossett Jr., because when we set up to do the Skype, this is a Skype call, by the way. This is another example of our great Skype technology. Here's another example of that. There's Danny interviewing somebody in Skype, the guy who owns Death Wish Coffee. Looks like he's right next to her. I think he was in Dallas or whatever. Very cool stuff. Here's what the funny thing about Louis Gossett Jr. So we wanted to call ahead of time, Skype ahead of time, so we had his shit together technology-wise. So we call in. We can't talk to Louis, of course. We talk to his assistant. So I'm explaining to him, here's what you need to do, lighting stuff, sound, headphones, whatever. And the assistant's kind of getting it. Well, I could hear Louis on the side going, well, we can do that. I'm like, well, fuck, man. Just get in there and talk to me, and we'll make it happen. So I thought he was going to be one of these prima donnas. He's an Academy Award winner. I thought he was going to be one of those guys. Nope. Super friendly, really nice, had a good time, informative, engaging. It was a ball dealing with him. So I really appreciate being able to meet that guy. Here's another example of a show where, what time are we doing on our time? Yeah, we're going a little long. Another example of a show where they started off as co-op members and ended up becoming Vegas Video Network shows. And this show is called Girl Chat Sports. So if you use the co-op correctly, it's a farm team, right? You can get your stuff together. You can practice, get comfortable. And that's what Melissa Ferris did and Jamie Collier. They're like getting it together, trying to figure it out. Then they went away to do their own podcast, realized their distribution wasn't good. They had some technical issues as well. And they came back to the network. I was able to listen to what they had done in the past. They had gotten a lot better. So we started doing Girl Chat Sports for them. Really fun show. This is another example of a show where they're doing this to demonstrate that they have the capabilities of being broadcasters in other areas. And they're working towards that. They're getting better and better every show. They're not 100% there, but they're making it happen. So I'm hopeful for that. Last two shows real quick. One of them is called House Seats Presents. This is with Bryce Krausman. Bryce owns House Seats here in Las Vegas. He also owns DW Bistro. What a fun guy. This is, one of the great things about my job now is, part of the criteria to be a part of the co-op or be part of the network is that you get it. We're having a good time. We're having fun. And Bryce is the quintessential I'm going to have a good time guy. So it's been a joy working with him on that. Lots of shows coming up on that. Also, he and I are brainstorming on yet another show that he wants to do. And then finally, the last show we'll talk about is a show called Inside Medicine. And this is a bit more serious. This is about what's going on in Las Vegas, or actually Southern Nevada, from a healthcare perspective.
Welcome to another
Doug
edition of
is going to use this thing as a monstrous tool. He's going to use this as both a tool to provide for the people who are part of Las Vegas Heels, which is an organization that is out there, you know, fighting the good fight for the medical world. And so people who sign up who are hospitals or doctor offices and that kind of stuff. So he's they're an advocate for the healthcare community. He's got large sponsors for that company. Those large sponsors get to appear on Inside Medicine. So it's a value add for his existing customers. So that's the first piece. So if you're a platinum customer, part of what you get among all these other things is a free appearance on Inside Medicine, which has a pretty large distribution play. Eventually, he's even going to make it so it becomes a pay deal. You want to have a commercial on this thing that gets to 20,000 people on his email list every Friday. You want to, and also on the Vegas Video Network with our three screens distribution, TV, desktop, and mobile device. That could be an advertiser you could play. He might even end up doing a pay to get interviewed kind of play as well. He is set up to make this thing a big deal for him, both from his own credibility. He is becoming the voice of the medical community here, the medical community here in Las Vegas. He's also making it a great tool for all of his partners who want to take this and put it on their own website to be able to say, yeah, I'm on Inside Medicine with Las Vegas Heels, Doug Geinzer. This is my appearance. And instead of only having to do 3 minutes, I got a half hour to really breathe. So it's a brilliant, brilliant idea. And I think he's going to knock it out of the park. All right, that's it. That's what we've been doing on the Vegas Video Network. What's in the future? Well, we've got, right now I've got three shows in development. Not sure when or if they're going to actually make it. These are all shows that are going to be needing some help. Strong ideas, but we've got to get them up to speed before we put them on the network, which is super important to us. We are also beginning negotiations with some broadcasting cable companies who've asked us for our content. That's ongoing. Next meeting is this Thursday, so keep an eye out for that. And of course, more living in Las Vegas. All right, let's, what time is it? What are we doing? Oh, we're 22 minutes. I think I might not make this over under. God damn it. Let's have a drink. All right, it's time for Have a Drink on Me. This is the part of the show where I'm going to show you a picture of a bar, a lounge, a pub, a speakeasy. And if you can send in the correct answer, you have a chance to win some amazing groovy prizes. Well, like what, Scott? Well, if you are afraid of the sunshine, you might win yourself a Vegas Video Network visor. It comes in black, like my heart, red, like my heart, or khaki, like my skin tone. Wait a minute, you prefer music? Of course you do. Well, how about this? One of the Crisp Acoustic CDs. Christmas is just around the corner. Or, if you like the jazz, and I know you do, well, then you can get yourself a good jazzathon CD. But wait, you want more. You want to get closer to your buddy Scott. Well, who doesn't? In that case, just like the name of the segment is, you can have a drink on me. You're in Vegas, I will buy you a drink. We will sip together and reminisce of the good times. Okay. Is there more to it than that? Of course there is. We don't want to make this easy. First, a big announcement I want to make. Our winner last week was Stephen Rhodes from the UK. Now, Stephen, as you may recall, was a winner a couple weeks ago. Steve, like many people from the UK, is a great and giving guy. So he wrote back and said, I already won. Please take my winnings and give it to somebody who has never won before. So I remember, and I'm going to need some help from the live chat here a little bit. Last week, somebody, it was Michael, I think it might have been Michael Snow or maybe Michael Lazowski, I forget when. One of you all said, I'm 0-21. So whichever one of you said, I'm 0-21, you will get Steven's win. So send me an email saying, it's one of the Michaels. I remember it was a Michael. So if you're a Michael and you're in the live chat and you remember this, I think it was either Michael Chicago Snowman. That's what I thought it was. So if it was you, Michael, okay, Snowman. Okay, great. Is he in? It's me. So hey, So Chicago Snowman, send me an email reminding me that I told you you won. You won Steve's play. Okay, how cool is that? Now, are there other ways that you can get an entry in there, right? One correct answer puts you in the hat. Here's how you can get more. If you are the first person to give a correct answer, I'll put you in again. If you show a Gajazzathon or a Christmas acoustic CD in the wild, like for instance that, there it is in Russia, there it is right next to a belly, which has a baby in it, then I will also give you another entry, okay? Now, why on earth would you want the visor? Well, that's a great question, right? Here's why. We, you and I, are mortals, and we understand that. But we aspire to greatness, to bigger, better things. I've always liked that about you. How much bigger? Well, if you have a visor and you send us a picture of the visor, you become a member of the galaxy of gods. There's Rob and Ben. There's Glenn and there is Jimmy Tucci. There's Bob and his wife. There's Stuart, whose champagne I am drinking. There's Binky and Bud and Craig in the live chat. There's Michael and there's Scott. There's Shanna Chan. There is some more. Who can it be? There's Alan and Aaron, the more talented one at the nudist colony. There's Pops and Sammy and your buddy Scott. There's Jackie, Christina's baby are because of me. There's Brett's dad and Don and a dog. There's Wayne and there's Ken, who's in Hawaii. God bless him. He took my stuff all the way there. There's Mike. Look, look. There's Danny, who's gonna lose because of a vodka bet. And of course, there is our buddy Brett. Oh, I didn't have that up the whole time, did I? All right, let me show you that. There's Rob, Glenn, Jimmy, Bob, fuck, Stuart, Pinky, Craig, Scott, Chan. Good thing you have to be smart to run your own company. Alan, Aaron. See, if I had somebody looking at the monitor. No excuses, you fucked it up, Mr. Whitney. Sammy, Scott, Jackie. Brett's dad, dog, Wayne, Hawaii. It's a shame I can't have like an alarm go off when the live chat's going, hey man, fuck, pay attention. All right, here we go. This one was a little harder. 22 entries, 20 were correct. Let's take a look at last week's Have a Drink on Me. There it is. It was Tom's Urban in New York, New York, on the outside there. Tom's Urban. A lot of positive reviews I've received from that. All right, let's see what we got here, folks. Tom's Urban. Okay, let's begin. First one, Mike Lazowski, Mad Chipmunk. He's the number one correct answer. He is not the number one answer. The first answer, which got in a couple minutes before him, was wrong. So Mad Chipmunk gets one for the correct answer and one for being the first one in. Attaboy, Madsky. Boop. Next up, we've got Rob Cole. Rob Cole's a co-op member and a lovely young man. Let's see if Robbie's in there. I don't see him today. I think he was in and out. Rob, one for you. Mike Beatty, one for the correct answer. Jimmy Gallagher, also known as Mr. Jimmy Two G's. He gets one for the correct answer. Boop. And one for the being in the live chat. Yes, you did get one, Mad Chipmunk. I put that in there. I doubled you in there, brother. You're good. Yeah, I'm taking care of you, man. All right, next up, Andy in New Hampshire. We just saw Andy recently in the live chat, and he still remains in the live chat. One for the correct answer. Whoop. And one for being in the live chat. All right. Aaron Perry, the most talented card maker in the world. Ra or Bob Step. Do, 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 do. There, boy. And Kevin Whip. from Connecticut, Canada, as the kids call it. All right. And we continue on. Craig Daughtry, Craig Vegas Dog, 222. One for the correct answer. Craig writes, by the way, trying to be first. Craig, you actually end up being number four on that one, in case you're wondering from a timing perspective. One for the correct answer, and one for being in the live chat. Next up, we know him as Mr. Testy. His given name, his Christian name, is Gary Romberg. Gary writes, interesting clues. Oh, thanks, brother. I appreciate that. Moving forward. Robert C., Robert 068, Pittsburgh. Who's in the live chat? Robert C. gets one for there. Robert 068, Pittsburgh gets another one for being in the live chat while this segment's going. See that? People are doubling their pleasure, doubling their fun because they're playing along in the live chat. Penny Gregory has played before. I think she might be a past winner. Barbara Shotness. Barbara is the gal who was playing clarinet in the opening thing, and she goes by Barb in Wisconsin. Guess what? Barb is going to take advantage of the couple power. She gets one for the correct answer. She gets one for being in the live chat. I wonder if her spouse might be playing as well. I'm guessing he will be showing up here soon. Brett Barnes. Brett writes, Great Scott, or is it Scott the Great? I'm pulling for you, Brett. I'm pulling for you for saying Scott the Great. I'm not supposed to do that. I'm supposed to be agnostic, but fuck it. It's my show. Okay. And we continue. Michael Snow, one for the correct answer. Boop. And one Chicago Snowman for being in the live chat. Now, wait a minute. He actually won. He gets the win. Actually, I'm going to take him out of that. Right? Well, I'll put him in there. What the fuck? If he wins, it'll be great. Okay. And Michael writes, that first one was a draft, by the way. So he sent in an incorrect answer. He realized, oh, that's not correct. And it may be that he was hanging out in the live chat after the show, and I gave him an additional clue. Does that seem fair? It is. The Haddam is Tom Urbans, of course. I could have used you as a teacher in high school with your wonderful clues. Thanks, Chicago Snowman 8. All right, Glenn Santa. Glenn gets one for the correct answer. And Glenn writes, Hi, Scott. This week's bar is Tom Urban's in New York, New York. We actually tried this place for the first time on our last trip and were pleasantly surprised. The quality of the food and drinks was excellent. And the place has a really cool vibe. The prices were also very reasonable for a restaurant bar on the strip. Definitely gets my thumbs up. All right, so he's in there. Alan Perry from Arizona. Alan writes, Hey, guys. The Haddam Bar this week is Tom Urban's at New York, New York. Tom Urban's is a chain with an interesting background. The same dude that opened Smash Burger Chain is responsible for Tom's Urban. I think they started out in Colorado and have been growing like crazy. Smash Burgers is everywhere. Tom's Urban is in Las Vegas is only the fourth restaurant bar in that chain. It looks very cool, and I think it has added some new and different to the front of New York, New York, Monte Carlo, the park area. We can't wait to stop by for a drink. Alan Perry, Prescott, Arizona. Next up, here we are, taking advantage of the marriage deal. Chester Shotness, who is CB in Wisconsin. Let's double check that he's in there. Well, yes, he is. One for the correct answer. One CB in Wisconsin for being in the live chat. And Chester writes, Chet, he has Chester here. All right. The location is Tom's Urban in New York, New York. Great place for cheesecake. Oh. Your comment about the cabin as in Uncle Tom's threw me off, but the other clues helped to solve the puzzle. Once I saw Tom's Urban, the cabin clue fell into place. Atta boy. Okay. Next up, we've got Steven Sutherland. There you go. And finally, two more, of course. We begin with the man, the myth. Oh, hell, I'll call him the legend. It's Pops, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, kids. There's a downside to taking your visor with you everywhere you go and keeping your jazzathon in your jacket pocket in case you run into a scenery or place and time where you can do a quick Haddam video. Get a lot of wear and tear. My visor spends about 20 to 25 hours a week on my head. Pretty much any time I'm out being the jackass with the camera, it's on my head. In case somebody gets offended, I can blame it all on Scott. And as far as the Jazzathon here, this is its third CD case. The plastic cases, it's had some accidents. Trying to hang it on the Christmas tree, trying to stick it on the wall, trying to nail it on the front door, trying to pack it, carry it across four states. Stuff happens to it. So I've torn up two cases. This is the third case. Fortunately, cases are a dime a dozen. I'm just glad that
these nuts
comes in the plastic shatterproof bottle. Got him.
By the way, I forgot to read Steven's email. Thank you for the email, Steven, with the Haddam deal. He wishes Brett good health. Oh, let me finish this, and I'll give you an update on Brett. Gina, or Pops also wrote, thanks for a fucking boatload of great clues. I now know way more about Harriet Beecher Stowe and her fucking book than I ever wanted or needed. And urban would be the opposite of rural. The opposite of country would be city. But I did get a good laugh as I shook my head and thought, there is no fucking way somebody opened a bar called Uncle Tom's Cabin in City Center. But I foolishly Googled it anyways. Hopes, dreams, and prayers for BG. Pops. Attaboy, Pops. So he gets one for the correct answer and one for being in the live chat. Quick update on Brett. So he sent me a text last week. And he wrote, this is good news. I had my first scan since starting the clinical trial. My results are good. All is stable. Nothing new and existing issues are improved or only slightly larger. Doctors are very pleased. And he gets to stay in the clinical trial, which means progress is happening. So that is really, really good news for Brett. Congratulations to Brett on that. Okay, and finally, our own Mr. Scorsese. It's Bob LaBerge. Pay close attention to his instructions. He's got an offer for everybody who's paying attention.
Hey, guys. I'd like to see some viewers send in some videos. So next week, the first viewer who sends in a video will receive all of my entries. Here's this week's video.
This week's bar is Tom's Urban, located at New York, New York Hotel and Casino. This elevated bar overlooks the strip and is a great place for people watching. Its interior is very attractive and stylish. The menu includes crispy duck wings,
quack,
lobster rolls, sticky pork belly rolls, taco sampler, and carrot cake for dessert. And here's the ultimate urban cowboy.
You guys have a good one, and we'll see you next week.
Another great job by Bob. Thank you, Bobby. All right. Let's take a look at who at first we got. Oh, almost forgot. One for Bob, one for the video. Okay, here we go. And our winner for today's Have a Drink on Me is Penny Gregory. Congratulations, Penny. You win yourself a hat or a visor, music, or a drink on your buddy. I will send you an email for that. Okay. Let's look at this week's Have a Drink on Me. Okay, here we go. Take a good look. Clue number one. This place could have been named after Laverne and Shirley's friend, the Big Ragu. This place could have been named after Laverne and Shirley's friend, the Big Ragu. Hint number two. This place claims the title of the largest non-nightclub restaurant on the Strip. This place claims the title of the largest nightclub restaurant on the Strip. If you're in the live chat, somebody is trying to give away the answer. Is that the advantage of being in the live chat? Perhaps. Or perhaps not. A saucy. Hint number three. You know, you guys are all pretty smart, so you're only getting two clues. Yeah, I think you guys are pretty smart, so you're only going to get two clues. All right, if you know the answer, you're going to send your email to where? You're going to send it to haveadrink@vegasvideonetwork.com. Again, haveadrink@vegasvideonetwork.com. There you go. And that's it, everybody. Thank you for playing along. We enjoyed you being with us. Thanks to the live chat. You guys were, as always, awesome sauce. Hey, if you want to send us an email that we can read on the show, you're going to send it to onairq@livinginlv.com. Again, onairq@livinginlv.com. Let's say you want to send us a voicemail because you have a lovely singing voice. I've always thought that about you. You're going to go to our website, click on that little red tab on the right-hand side, and it's going to pop up a box that allows you to start recording your voicemail. And it's going to work because you have a microphone attached to your computer. We're all over the place. We're on iTunes. Give us a 5-star review. We're on YouTube. Give us a thumbs up and share us with other people. Plus, you'll find us on Roku, where we have over 32,000 of these accounts installed. We're on Stitcher, TuneIn, Chromecast, Apple, Google, and Fire TV. We're on Google Play, and of course, we're on the Vegas Video Network. All right, that's it, everybody. We love that you came out here. Thanks for supporting the network. Thanks for supporting the show. We'll see you guys next week at Living in Las Vegas on the Vegas Video Network. Take care. Next part.